We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
From LA to London and from the red carpet to the picket line, the stars are striking. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning. The walkout by the Screen Actors Guild will mean around 160,000 actors are expected to stop working, and its impact is being felt around the world. Last night it affected one of the summer's most anticipated movies, having its premiere in London, Oppenheimer.
We imagine a future, and our imaginings horrify us. We won't understand it until they've used it.
The actors are showing support for the TV and film writers in America, who've been on strike since May 1st over concerns of pay cuts and the threat of AI on the industry. It's the first time both the writers and actors have been on strike at the same time since the 1960s, and it's bringing the whole industry to a halt. British actor Kenneth Branagh had this to say to the BBC last night.
Well, I'm in solidarity with my SAG colleagues. I've been a SAG member for more than 30 years. It's a critical time for such negotiations. There's an existential threat, and it's really important that it gets resolved quickly. But it's critical because the consequence beyond the membership of SAG-AFTRA for other areas of the business is really significant. So I know people are working very hard, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that it gets resolved quickly.
And his co-star in Oppenheimer is Matt Damon.
You have to make $26,000 a year to qualify for your health insurance. And there are a lot of people who get across that threshold through their residual payments. You know, we can go long stretches without working, and we have to find a way to bridge so that those people who are on the bubble are taken care of. And there's money being made, and it needs to be allocated in a way that takes care of people who are on the margins.
Now, the big studios have made an offer to protect the digital likeness of actors, but that's been rejected. Okay, let's do the numbers. Shares in Nokia are down by almost 10% as it cut its sales and profit outlook for the year, and it's blaming a slowing economy and rising inflation for that. But better news for the British luxury retailer Burberry, which generated $777 million in revenues last quarter. That's a 17% increase since the quarter before. Now to France, the home of many luxury retail fashion brands, where people are being encouraged to ignore the latest trends by repairing the clothes they already have instead of buying new ones. The BBC's Lucy Williamson is in Paris.
The Repair Fund is the French government's antidote to fast fashion. The scheme, which is funded by contributions from commercial producers, aims to increase the volume of garments repaired by more than a third. There have already been questions about how well the scheme will work outside major towns and cities. But the idea went down well with many of those we spoke to in central Paris today.
I think it's a good idea to avoid over-consumerism.
Upcycling is very good, but it will be more expensive than fast fashion today.
The schemes are part of President Macron's promise to create a circular economy designed to safeguard the future by bringing back the habits of the past.
Lucy Williamson with that report. Since the 2011 tsunami, which severely damaged Fukushima's nuclear plant, more than a million tons of wastewater has built up in the tanks on the site. Japan has been given permission to release the radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean, and that's a process that could begin any day now. But the plan is proving controversial for the fishing industry, as the BBC's Tokyo correspondent Shamia Khalil reports.
The 2011 Fukushima triple disaster crippled Japan and shocked the world. The country's most powerful earthquake triggered a tsunami that swept through the East Coast, killing more than 18,000 people and causing the world's worst nuclear accident since Chernobyl.
When you stand on a roof of one of the buildings at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant,
you really get to see the magnitude. I'm looking at more than a million tons of contaminated water in over 1,000 huge tanks. And they're filled with water that's been used to cool the reactors after the nuclear meltdown in Fukushima in 2011. But now these tanks are running out of space, and the government says the water has to go somewhere. Japan has been given the go-ahead to release the wastewater into the sea after it's been treated further. But this is causing a huge amount of anger and anxiety, not just here, but around the region. TEPCO, the company running the plant, says the radioactive water will be treated, diluted, and tested for safety before it's discharged. All radioactive compounds will be removed, except one, tritium. But tritium, TEPCO says, will be well below international safety standards of concentration. Kazuo Yamanaka is one of the officials at the Decontamination and Decommissioning Department.
I am a radiation expert, so I know that tritium has very little effect on the human body and living organisms. I hope that these data and images will help to reassure people a little.
But Fukushima fishermen are not reassured. For years, they've struggled to fight the stigma and convince people to buy their fish. Now they say the reputational damage from the water release plan will be another huge blow. An hour's drive from Hisanohama port, I sit with Toru Takahashi. His son and his grandson now run his fishing boat, and he worries about the uncertainty the water release would bring.
Before, we were able to fish across four other prefectures. Now, we're not allowed to do that. I've had so many conversations with the Japanese government and TEPCO. Nobody wants to release this dangerous water. If it's so safe, I told them, just take it to Tokyo.
Shamil Khalil reporting. And finally, India's space agency has launched its latest mission to the moon, so it could be the fourth country to land there. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.